Kohi said in the Torah, before the rabbis, I always like to start off with the rabbi. Don't look. Does anyone have any sources of Kol Isha in the Torah? Where do we interact with women singing in the Torah? Or not singing in the Torah? Maybe we never interact because it's Kol Isha. But there are actually two main sources we seem to indicate that Kol Isha, I don't know, that poses the question to Kol Isha in the Torah. Where do we see women singing in the Torah?
Miriam.
Oh, very good. Okay, so right after the splitting of the sea, source one. ותיקח מרים הנביאה אחות אהרון את התוף בידה ותצאנה כל אנשים אחריה בתופים ומחולות ותען להם מרים שיר להשם כי גאה סוס ורוחב הרמה בים. So after the whole Yashir story sort of goes back and Miriam repeats the singing and she screams and they sing. So this seems to pose a question. If there really is a prohibition of women singing, then how could it be that Miriam was leading this singing at Kriyat Yamsuf?
Do you have opportunities?
Should. Here. There you go. Two sheets.
I feel like based on what we know, because I think the second one is Devorah, right? I feel like based on what I know, if you have a group, it's fine, but if you have one person, because isn't Devorah like the only one singing, so isn't that like actually a problem?
Okay, so maybe. But why do you think that Dvorah was singing with a lot of people?
I thought it was just her singing
their
whole thing.
No, I mean, it says in the second verse, Vatasha
Dvorah,
oh, she sings with Barah. No, you're right.
I see that, actually.
It seems like she's singing
better,
together.
That's even better then, because she's singing with them, so then that's like based on
there, we can maybe make an argument that they were singing together, as opposed to Miriam, where she's singing alone.
Yeah.
Why would they be keeping
Kolokko? Oh, there we go. See, remind your name?
Jerry.
So Jerry asked the Bambasha, would you rather ask this? Who's to say they were keeping Kolokko? Certainly in the case of Miriam, which was before the Torah was given, we should ask that question. Perhaps Devorah, the Torah was already given, but of course, the rabbinical laws, we would not assume were given. So Jerry asked a good question. You're right. But you should know that there is an idea out there mentioned in the Gemara in Yevamot and Kiddushin that the Avos kept the Torah even before it was given. What exactly that means, does that mean they literally kept every single detail of halacha, is a shir for another time. But you're right, Jerry, that you could ask, well, that was back then, but you know the rabbis hadn't invented Kol Isha, so don't bother reading that question. Nonetheless, there are rabbis who do try to figure out answers. They say, oh, maybe they sang together, maybe it wasn't really a song, it was a cheer, you know, like Bnei Akiva girls, and it was cheers, so it was one of those. But anyways, I thought it was interesting to, it's a kasha nonetheless on the issue of Kol Isha. Fine, but in terms of, more importantly, what is the rabbinical sources, what is the Talmudic sources for Kol Isha? Okay, so the Gemara in Brachos, Achav Dalam and Aleph, we are in the middle of a sugya discussing the laws of Kriyat Shema. That's very important. Okay? The following story happens. Amar Rav Chisda, Shuk Be'isha Erva. Chisda says, you know what? The thigh of a woman, it's nakedness. Shenemar, Gali Shuk Avri Naharot. Reveal my thighs and pass over my rivers. So, in the context, it's saying, reveal my shuk is like an attractive way. So he says, you can't leave your thighs unexposed, that's considered sexual. Says, that's the end of the pasuk. Okay? Reveal my nakedness, ervatcha. Okay? Amr Shmuel, Shmuel, I'll do you one better. You're telling me thighs are nakedness? Kol b'isha erva, the voice of a woman is nakedness. Shneamar ki kolech arev umar ech naveh. Your voice is beautiful, and your sight is nice. Which is, as we see in source 4, a quote from Shir Hashirim, when the lover, the man and the woman, and the man is praising this woman, say, you have such a nice voice. And he praises her for her voice. So Shmuel says, it turns out from here that your voice is also considered nakedness, licentious, sexual. Amar Rav Sheshes, Se'ar b'yisha'er ba. Rav Sheshes says, I'll do you one better. Even hair of a woman is nakedness, even to see the unexposed hair of a woman.
Oh, is that why they
explain it? This indeed is one of the sources for covering your hair. She'nemar se'archa ke'edr ezim, as it says, and it's a little weird, your hair is as beautiful as goat's hair, but in any case, it was a praise. Okay. So,
sure.
This is the primary source. There are four Talmudic sources for Kol Isha. This is the primary source. Okay, or one of the main primary sources. Okay. Now, assuming that's all we know about the Gemara, what questions must we ask in order to unravel the halachic implications of this sugya? Yeah. No? Yeah.
Is nakedness objective or relevant to the time period?
Okay, that's a good, I guess, general question. Is it nakedness only then, or can nakedness standards change? Maybe it was naked there, but maybe nowadays it wouldn't be considered. So, subjective nakedness. Good question. Okay, what else?
Isn't women allowed to talk?
Oh! Flesh out that question.
Like, if we're always going to be attracted to them, give a voice, and like, in some check about them, then maybe they shouldn't speak at all, because then...
I'll put your question differently.
Is
it Joe saying, maybe it's not saying the singing voice is nakedness, maybe their talking voice is nakedness. What does it mean, kol b'isha erba? Why would you assume it's a singing voice? Maybe it's the talking voice. Talking or singing? Good. What else? Another question?
When does it apply? What context? Is it always...
Okay, explain. When might we think it only applies?
Public?
Perhaps, but based on the context, right? I started off saying, what context are we talking about? What is the context? You won't see it in the Shida. I introduced it. The Gemara in Brachos before talks about this, talking about the laws of Kriyat Shema. Okay? And several of these laws only apply to Kriyat Shema. For example, we specifically go out of our way not to look at your wife's hair in Kriyat Shema. Normally, you can look at your wife's hair. But in Kriyat Shema, it's considered nakedness, and you don't look at your wife's hair. Also, the thigh of your wife, of the tefach, is specifically a Kriyat Shema related law. On the other hand, the Gemara goes on to talk about the pinky of a woman. To look at the pinky of a woman is considered nakedness. Now, that's not specifically Kriyat Shema related. That's in any situation related. You're never allowed to stare at a woman, right? So that's another big question. Is this specifically Kriyat Shema, or is this in any context it's usher to hear the voice of a woman? Good. What other question can we ask? Not, I guess, specific, but more in general, is this an agadata, or is this, a halachic? How do we know it's a halachic? Maybe it's just, a few rabbis going to a bar and they're, talking about what they think is nakedness. And I'm not a bar, but you know what I'm saying. Like, they're schmoozing. Why do we assume that this has halachic import, or is this just an isolated statement of the rabbis? Right? Those, I think, are some of the questions which I wrote on the question section. So, interestingly enough, there does actually seem to be a Gemara which seems to support Joe's position. And there may have been a perspective that even speaking to a woman would be a problem. Okay? So in source 5, in the Gemara in Kedushin, Afayin, Shmuel says, the same Shmuel says, Kol b'isha. Remember, it's the same guy. Bishayer le mar shloma liyilta. So send to the master, what's up, Shloma, to Yilta, who is the name of his wife. Amrle, wait a second. Hachi Amr Shmuel, Kol b'isha erva. How can you tell me to talk to another woman that the voice of a woman is nakedness? F. Charlie de Shliach. The answer is no, you can do it through a messenger. We're not going to get so much into that, but the point is that some seem to be understanding, in later generations, or those who seem to understand Shmuel to be referring to the voice of a woman to be even the talking voice of a woman. Or perhaps not, or perhaps it's a separate decree and there's two elements, but he quotes Kol b'isha erva not specifically in the context of singing, but in the context of schmoozing with another woman. Now this may sound like a very this Haredi perspective. Can you speak to women? It's crazy, right? There is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the first chapter, fifth Mishnah, which says that even speaking to another person's wife is problematic, and even speaking too much with your wife could be problematic. So you could find this source as an idea within our tradition. True story, when I was on Machach Hezder, so I was shtark. So I wanted to do a chavura. So I invited everyone to learn Pirkei Avos with me on Shabbos afternoons. So who came? Five girls. So it was me and five girls, and I'm teaching them Pirkei Avos. And it was going amazingly. And then we got up to the fifth Mishnah. And the fifth Mishnah says that, you know, you shouldn't talk too much to girls. In the end, he will, if you speak too much, he'll come to hell. So then I was like, it was a very awkward moment. So I was like, no, there's all these explanations, and it's only if you're talking about unholy things, and, you know, if you're not careful, and I gave all these explanations, which I learned. But needless to say, that was the end of the Pirkei Avos Chibur. That was it. Anyway, the point is that you might think this is like, I guess, a Haredi perspective. Don't even talk to women, you know, how can you say such a thing? But actually, this perspective might lead us to a lenient perspective, argues Saul Berman. Why? Why would saying that Kol Isha is specifically referring to talking to women lead us towards a more lenient perspective on Kol Isha? How did that turn out? Because we'd say that Shmuel is saying Kol Isha is not speaking to women, but we don't pass him like that. I mean, that was a shita. There's an idea like that within the Jewish tradition, but clearly our Masoret is not that that it's usher to speak to women. We do allow speaking to women in our community, and therefore, yeah, there's an idea called Kol Isha, but we don't pass him like that. So that was essentially the derech that I get Saul Berman and others in the conservative movement wanted to take. But it's not fully convincing. And I'll show you why in a moment. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, why would he say that the prohibition doesn't exist versus the initial prohibition just changed? I mean, we don't let them talk anymore,
Or there's two elements to the prohibition. Right. Meaning there's talking part, and then there's talking flirtatiously, and then there's singing, but they're both in the category of inappropriate. Right, exactly. Yeah. So, but I was going to point out another Gemara. If you look in the next page, source 6, and I numbered it, you didn't tell me. Marisot says, Amar of Yosef, Zamre Gavri Va'ane Nashi, if the men are singing and the women are answering, Pritsuta, Princess, Chas V'Shum, Zamre Nashi Va'ane Gavri, but if the women are singing and the men are answering, Ke'ish B'Na'oret, it's like fire in like you're burning paper on fire, it's like an exploder Yitzhar Hara, and right. Rashi explains, "Efisha ha'avana mata as no lishmata mazamer la'anot achrav nimso anashim no nim libam lekol anashim mekol biisha erva." Rashi specifically links this Gemara in Sota to the prohibition of kol biisha erva. Rashi specifically says, "She'in a mazamrim matim v'znam lekol onim." So Rashi certainly believes that there's a problem of hearing a woman sing, not just speak, but singing would be a problem, right? The Gemara says it's pritzus. If the women answer, and it's even worse if the men answer, and the men are listening to the women sing, okay?
It's a fiery what?
It's like a firing paper, like you're burning the paper on fire. It's like it can be an explosion of the Yitzhahara, is what he's referring to. Okay, so certainly this Gemara seems to indicate that the singing would be a problem. Okay, the Yerushalmi also is in there, but I'm going to get quickly to the point. The Sefer HaChassidim is often strict, and he actually writes that a single man should not be a teacher of young women because of Kol B'Isha Erva, which probably does not mean that he's worried about them singing. Seems to be more he's worried about hearing them talk all the time. The Sefer HaChassidim seems to be aligned with this speaking is a problem shita. So, again, that could be read for strictness or for leniency. But, for all you liberal-minded folk, there's good news, because there's a few Rishonim who specifically limit Kol B'Isha. So, Rav Hai Gaon, who's quoted by the Mordechai, Rabbeinu Hananel, quoted by the Rabbia, and the Meiri, all huge poskim, all write that Shmuel's law prohibits the recitation of the Shema when hearing a woman sing. Okay? So why is that very important to our sugya? If you are an S.A.R.
It's great for us.
Why? Except when? Except when they agree as well. But otherwise, according to the Meiri, the Rabbia, and Rabbeinu Hananel, it would only be a problem with Kriyat Shema, then it's distracting. But otherwise, to hear a woman's voice is not necessarily a problem.
It's not any other tefillah or in a concert.
Specifically, Shema requires more kavana than anything else. We know the only tefillah which requires kavana, and if you didn't have kavana, if you space out Shema tonight, you have to go back and say it again, because Shema requires kavana, as opposed to anything else.
Like a concert is fine, correct?
According to the Meiri, it would seem like it would be okay to go to a concert of a woman as long as you're not saying Shema. Okay?
Shkoyach.
We can just stop right here if you don't want to hear the rest of the way that the halacha evolved. But, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your perspective, it's more complicated than that. But we do have to point out that the Rith, remember, the Rith, the Rush, and the Rambam are the three main poskim who the Shulchan Aruch poskims by. The Rith does not bring this law down in his halacha sefer. What does that mean? How did
Tzagada
Al-Fasi, he thought it was an Agadah, exactly.
Is that the one?
No, I'm talking about the Brachos one. As far as I know, the Rith does not bring this down. And therefore, it would seem like he also, it seems like he also doesn't think it's an absolute halachic law. Okay. But life is more complicated. Okay? Because we have the Rush. And the Rush, Reinu Asher, writes that Shmuel said the voice of a woman is sexually stimulating, as it is riven, for your voice is sweet. That is to say, prohibited to hear, but not for the recitation of the Shema. So how does the Rush understand the issue of Kol Isha? Is it just a Shema issue?
Every issue.
It's always a problem to hear a woman sing. Okay. So now we've got the riff, we've got the Rush. Who will be the final third posek to get us towards some sort of conclusion? So let's see the Rambam. Mishnah Torah. Who wants to read for us the Mishnah Torah? Yeah, go for it. Excellent. So what is the Rambam saying?
I'm looking at her.
Even at her pinky, the pinky of a woman, Meniska, and you get benefit from that.
It's like looking at her private part.
Yeah.
And what's the next halacha?
Well, and even to listen to
the voice of an erva. Notice at his lashon. What's the language of the Rambam here?
He's an erva.
Not Kobi Isha Erva, but Kobi Ish Shel Ha Erva. What does that mean? You know?
Like explicit language, I guess.
He's explicit in the language, but when he says Kol Shel Ish Ha Erva, of the naked, I don't think he's talking about the voice being naked. This is saying of a woman who's considered naked. Meaning a woman who is in Nida, or a woman who is Asur to you, the Erva, she is the one you can't listen to, but the woman who wouldn't be in Nida, maybe you could listen to her. Okay? Maybe some make that distinction. It's not so clear. But it's never so clear, and that's what we're going to see, that there are very different shitas based on this Rambam.
Right.
This is the key Rambam. But the Rambam does seem to be, at least on a simple level, paskening like the Rush, that there is an Isser to listen to a woman, and it is considered naked. Okay? So, unlike the Meiri and all those other postmen, it's not specifically a Kriyat Shema issue. It is in all situations. And that is why the Orach Chaim Shulchan Aruch paskins. First of all, he paskins, Yeshu there, Mishmiat Kol Zer, Meisha B'Shat Kriyat Shema. So at first he says, oh, you're only allowed to not listen to her when saying Kriyat Shema. So you might be thinking, oh, it's okay, it's only Kriyat Shema. It's a good question. It doesn't really that often happen that you're you know, hearing a, you know, a girl sing in Kriyat Shema, but okay. Vavil Bishtol Rama points. But the Rama points out that if you're used to it, then it's okay.
Oh.
That's interesting, because he's already putting a subjective element into the sugya. But the Shulchan Aruch writes in Ayin Hey Bet, Seir Shalisha Shedarka L'chasot, the hair of a woman that she intimately covers, Aser L'kroto Konegdo, it's Aser to read by Afilu Ishto, Ava Betula Shedarka Nalech Proat Arosh Mutar. But women who have covered hair, there's Mutar. Hold on, that was not the first thing. Go to the next page. That's interesting, again, because there's a subjective element in these halachas. That's why I wanted to point that out, but that's not the main point. The point is, in Eben Ezer, Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph, Halacha Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch writes, HaMistakel afilu be'etzba k'tana shal isha v'nitkaben le'enot mehena, kilu nistakel be'beit haTorah. Right? If you look at a girl's pinky, it's like looking in her private part. Who is the Shulchan Aruch basing himself on? Where is this language taken from?
Rambam.
From the Rambam. Explicitly from the Rambam. Ve'asur lishmoa kol erva. Notice he changed it a little bit, right? He doesn't say kol ha erva, he says kol erva. It's also to hear the voice of the erva, or lirot se'ara, or to look at her hair. Ve'amitkaben l'achad me'elvarim machinot to market mardus. And if you do this, we whip you. So, how did the Rambam understand the issue of kol isha?
Not
the Rambam. No, Shulchan Aruch. How did Shulchan Aruch understand it? Is there a halacha called Kol Isha now in the context of Kriyat Shema?
Yes.
Yes. Well, yes, there is. Well, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Asher Lishma Kol Erva. It's Asher to.
What's the Orachaim?
Shulchan Aruch Orachaim is the Shulchan Aruch also, and this is Shulchan Aruch and Ebenezer.
So they can drink each other.
No, it's not drinking. It seems to be simply saying that it's also in the context of Kriyat Shema and also in the context of regular day life. We pose it as two separate things, but the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam say they're both usher. Both in Kriyat Shema and in general. It's always usher.
It is about kol haragil bo eino erva.
That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam points out that in the context of Kriyat Shema it wouldn't be nakedness, but I think the Rambam is specifically talking about Kriyat Shema. I don't know if the Rambam would apply that to a regular situation. Perhaps later poskim may use that Rambam as something to jump off and say, maybe even in this situation we can allow a voice that you're used to hearing.
I think that Rama sometimes is a little more lenient. Like I know for tzitzis, he's the only posik that says you can use any type of bag if you want. And then he gets rejected by almost. He says you can use. I don't know if he like.
I think the more you see halacha, the more you see that it's these generalizations that the Shulchan Aruch is more machmer, or the Rama is more machmer, don't really hold up. Oh, right. There are a lot of issues. The Rama is much more machmer than the Shulchan Aruch. There are many issues. The Shulchan Aruch is much more machmer. They could do a study to see if there's patterns, but from my perspective, there's no
real.
And certain issues, like when it comes to Hilchos Kashrut, you could find patterns, but in general, you won't find. Yeah,
wouldn't we be a lot more machmir in Kriyat Shema in general?
Yeah.
So if Ramah's saying it's okay, if you're a heel in Kriyat Shema, then
maybe.
Sounds like talk over.
Maybe. Oh, fascinating. I do that. I've never seen that, but.
It's
an interesting story. Yeah, but the question is, why didn't the Rambam bring that down here?
I got owned.
The Rambam really brought that, then why didn't he say that? It's a good one. There's an easy way to find out. The Rambam has a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch called the Darsha Moshe, where he writes, he'll write in Eben Ezra and he'll write his whole commentary. So we can look it up. I have a feeling that I would have heard about it if the Rambam brought down the perspective, but your Svari is good. Okay, before we walk away sad, because I didn't yet give the lenient perspective, I want us to summarize and just understand that it's not so simple. Meaning, to get to a strict perspective, we had to jump through a lot of hoops. We had to first read this Gemara, then decide that it's not a galut, that it's halacha. Then decide that it's not just halacha, that we don't paskin like those opinions that say it's only Kriyat Shema. And we paskin like the opinion to say that it's in all situations. Now that you have that context, you might understand why later poskim may find there's more wiggle room to be lenient. Oh yeah, you also have to assume that it's not just talking about speaking to women, right? Now you might understand why mid-modern poskim might, you know, find more wiggle room to be lenient, as we'll see all the modern leniencies by modern poskim. Okay? One last food for thought on the, I guess, lenient perspective. This halacha of not listening to women is juxtaposed to another halacha? What's the halacha that is juxtaposed to both in the Rambam and in the Shulchan Aruch? The issue of Kol Isha, and it's juxtaposed, what comes right before it? I quoted it both times. Hair is afterwards. That's also a relevant issue, but even before hair, the issue of pink. Now, generally we assume pinky seems like really strict. You're not allowed to stare at the pinky of a woman. That seems really, really crazy, chareid. But if you think about it, this actually might be a tzad lahakel. This might be a reason to be lenient. Why could this lead us towards a more lenient perspective? When is it usher to look at the pinky of a woman?
Neither.
No.
Never.
Always.
Never and always. Why? What? Explain.
I mean,
depends how you look at it. If you stare at it versus in passing glance.
Excellent. If you're just happen to see a pinky of a woman, that's not a problem. If you objectify the woman and you look at the woman, even the pinky, and you sexually objectify it and say you're trying to get pleasure out of it, then that's always usher. That's the chiddush of the Rambam, and that's the chiddush of the Shulchan Aruch. So write many modern, not many, but a lot of liberal modern Orthodox rabbis like Rav David Bigman and Rav Shama, and maybe Moshe Lichtenstein is also in this camp, I'm not sure. They want to make a diuk in the Rambam. They want to say, and a diuk in the Shulchan Aruch, an inference, a close reading of the Shulchan Aruch, and say, when is it usher to hear a woman sing? The same way it's usher to stare at a pinky. When you're objectifying, when you're doing it in order to derive pleasure, sexual pleasure. When you're not doing it to derive sexual pleasure, then it's okay. It's only when you're doing it dafka in a sexual context, then it would be problematic.
Oh.
Right? So many modern posting. Yeah. I would point out that the vast majority of post-kim, and I'd say from right wing to mainstream, I guess mainstream orthodoxy, do not necessarily hold of this inference and think that's a bit of a stretch. And read the Shulchan Aruch, I guess, in the simplest way, that it's a problem. I know there are all these other lenient perspectives, but the Shulchan Aruch passing like this, and therefore the consensus of most post-kim after the Shulchan Aruch is that we do apply Kol Isha to all situations.
Wait, remember my rabbi saying something about
Moshe Lichtenstein? Yes, where Moshe Lichtenstein wrote an article very recently.
Tried to read it?
In the context of the whole controversy where many soldiers walked out when women were singing at the Kotel, which I introduced, is a very, very fiery issue to this day. Right now, it's still a really, really big issue. And he goes on a lenient perspective. What we'll have to discuss next week are the issues of singing Zmiros together, listening to women over the radio.
Kaddish
is a related issue, sure. And why it is that in our communities it seems like we're very, I guess, more lenient than the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch on those issues. And if so, did that open up a door, perhaps, to take an even more lenient perspective and even allow solos of women in a non-sexual context? I don't think there's any Orthodox rabbis in a sexual context. This is okay, but in a non-sexual context, that's the question we'll have to talk about next week on Monday.
What a creative move.
I'll keep the source sheet, so I'll get back.